Allow you to take the word of God, please. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter 3, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's word. Ephesians chapter number 3, we're just going to read two verses tonight instead of the eight verses that I will normally read. Verses 20 and 21. The Bible says, as Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." And I want you to know that our goal tonight should be that the Lord would have the glory in the church. This local assembly of baptized believers that have voluntarily joined themselves together ought to do everything we can to bring the glory to Him, the glory to God. And tonight, as we think about everything we do, it ought to come out of a heart-filled desire that He would be glorified and that He would be lifted up. And I appreciate, Brother Mickey, if you'll give me a little bit more volume. Please give me some more volume and give me some more monitor. And I really appreciate that. And then that way I won't feel like I'm going to try to yell my way. So anyway, can you hear me all right? Everybody can hear me fine? That's good. I feel like I can't hear anything. My head's in a barrel, you know? But when we think about bringing glory to Him, that ought to be our heart's desire. Let's pray together tonight. Lord, we love You. You're so good to us. You've given us another day. And Lord, we realize that there's many people that didn't wake up from their sleep this morning. Others, Lord, that woke up with something, Lord, that's incurable. Others, Lord, had problems they're facing, and there's no doubt many of us have problems. But Lord, we recognize Your goodness. And we realize, Lord, how much You love us and what You desire for us. Lord, tonight in thinking about bringing You the glory, I pray, Lord, that that would be our desire. When we consider all that You've done for us, Lord, may we do the best we can for You to bring glory to You and to Your precious name. Help me as I stand to preach tonight. Lord, I always need You. I always need Your help and Your guidance. But tonight I need a touch of Your strength to help me to be able to go through this. And these next few moments that we have together, I pray that though my voice may be weak, that the message will be clearly heard, and Lord, that our lives will be touched, not by me, but by Thee. And we'll thank You for what You do. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Last week I preached on the thought, "Unto Him be glory in the church." And we discussed the fact that a church that preaches is a church that brings glory to the Lord, a church that gives the truth, that spreads the gospel, that tells others about Christ, that preached the Bible, the blood, the blessed hope. Tonight, I want to talk about a church that prays, a church that prays. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. And of course, these are the Acts of the Lord Jesus Christ through the person of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter number 4, I hope that you'll be there. When we consider a church that prays, we see several things. So we understand there was a miracle that had taken place in chapter number 3. And this brought a great persecution to the early church, to these believers, to these disciples. Chapter number 4 begins with that persecution. The Bible says in verse 3, they laid hands on them and they put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. But I love what it says in verse 4. Many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. I'm telling you, in the midst of persecution, the message can still be carried out. So Peter stands and he addresses the Sanhedrin. The Bible teaches us so many wonderful things here as he's talking. There's questions that are asked, and verse number 7, the Bible says, When they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and of elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." I love this. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." They didn't change their message in the midst of persecution, did they? They had been captured, they had been taken, they had been taken hold of, they had been kept, guards watching over them, and they had a chance to stand, and they said, the Sanhedrin said, "By what power, whose name, by what authority did you have to heal this man?" And they said, "The one that you crucified, the one that you buried, but the one that rose again the third day, in the name of Jesus, that's who healed him." And I want you to understand this. They say to them, "There's not salvation anywhere else. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And then it goes on. They didn't like what they heard. And so the Bible says that they marveled. They took knowledge. They perceived, the Bible says in verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men. And they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And behold, him, the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Boy, they wanted to do something to them, didn't they? They said, "We can't deny it. Here's the man. He was in bad shape. He was the beggar. But look at him now. He was lame. But here he is standing with them. We can't say anything." It goes on. And it says in verse number 17, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. That brings me to my text. We see what was going on. I want you to look at three things tonight. A church that prays. A church that prays. I want you to see, first of all, the separation. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 23. "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them." Do you understand what's going on? They separated themselves, of course, from these people. But when I talk about separation tonight, there's two facets of separation in the Bible. There's the separation away from and a separation unto. And they separated, these men were separated unto the Lord. You could go and read in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 about separation. We're not going to go there tonight, but I want you to see where they went. They went to their own company. They went to their church. They belonged. There's one of those things as a stranger, Brother Ray said, he was a stranger and I took him in. I don't want to take him in. I've taken some other bugs in this week. I don't need that one. But they went to their own company. The Bible says they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders said unto them. They had a place. It was a local assembly. It was a body of believers. That's why we believe you ought to unite with the local church. But they had a place to go to. They had a place they identified with. They had a company of people that they said were part of this people. And they were separated from a lot of the other religions because a lot of the other religions, you belong to a religion. In ours, you belong to Christ, and Christ teaches us that we ought to be a part of a local New Testament church. And so when we think about this, I want you to realize they separated from the Sanhedrin, they separated from these people, but they went to their own company, and they knew what was needed. When I talk about this separation, I'm talking about there was a need for the church to pray. There was a need for this body of believers to pray. If you want to see something happen in this world, you know how many times I talk to people, we knock on doors, we'll go out and we'll knock on doors, and somebody will come to the door, and inevitably I'll ask them, well, do you go to church? Well, you know, I go here and there. And I may ask them the question, do you belong to a church? Well, you know, I'm just part of God, one of God's children, and I just go wherever I feel comfortable. And I think, well, that's a sad thing, isn't it? It's really a sad thing to think about that. We have people that call and ask for help all the time, all the time. And I always ask them this question, do you belong to a local church? And I'm going to tell you, 99 times out of 100, I get this answer, well, no, I don't. I say, you know, it's a sad thing because if you belong to a local church, you might be able to have some people to help you out. You might have somebody that's there. You have a family that's there around you to give you strength, to help you out, to encourage you along the way. But a lot of people don't see the importance of being a part of a church and uniting with the church and saying, I'm one of them. You know, I'm a Shelton. And being a Shelton means something. It may not mean a whole lot to you, but it means something to me. And it means something to people that know that name. Well, I like to be able to say I'm a member of East Avenue Baptist Church. Amen. And I think we ought to be able to come together as a church and pray together. Now, I know, look, I'm not picking at people that's not members. What I'm saying is I like that, and I believe that it's biblical to join a church. I believe that. Some of you I know are praying about it. Some of you don't have that same conviction. That's between you and the Lord. You know? If I'm telling you the truth and you know, then you'll stand before the Lord one day. But look, it's between you and the Lord. But I love the fact that they separated themselves, and where they went to was their own company of people. And they came with the purpose of saying, this is what's going on. We've been persecuted, and they've told us not to speak, not to preach or teach in the name of Jesus. And so we see the separation. Next thing I want you to see is the supplication. I want you to notice what the next few verses say. And when they heard that, verse 24, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now I want you to take note of what it says. Does not the Old Testament teach us that Christ would not be accepted? Does the Old Testament teach us? It tells about certain things that are going to happen. He's going to be despised and rejected. That's what the Bible says. And so these men, this church is praying. They said, we realize this is just part of you being God. Because the Bible says these have gathered together, Herod, Pontius Pilate, Gentiles, people of Israel, gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand, talking about God's hand, and thy counsel determined before to be done. In other words, God knew all this was going to take place. When we look at what's going on in this world, sometimes we think it may have taken God by surprise. It hasn't. Do you realize that God is already in your tomorrow? That he already knows what's going to take place? He's got it all in his control. And when the world looks like it's out of control, we as believers have the blessed promise and the blessed truth and the blessed assurance to know that as out of the control as the world may seem, that God always has it in control. Amen. Lord. Supplication. The Bible says, they continue prayer, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. What were their threatenings? You can't preach or teach in the name of Jesus, right? Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy service that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. They had separated themselves to their own company. They come together as a church. They have this time of supplication. They realize that unless the Lord does something, that nothing's going to be accomplished. God had left these and they had apostolic authority. There was some healing that was going to take place. By the way, we don't have apostolic authority today. There are no divine healers today. Amen. There is divine healing, and that's from God. Amen. But when we look at this, we see that God has shown them some wonderful things and some wonderful truths. So in their time of supplication, we're seeing the separation. Now we see their supplication. We see that they call on the name of God and said, we have been forbidden, if you will, to preach and teach in the name of Jesus. So they said, Lord, you know what they've said to us. You know the restrictions they placed. But we're praying for you to anoint us and to enable us to preach the word of God with boldness. In other words, Lord, we're not quitting what you've given us today. In the midst of persecution, in the midst of trials, in the midst of tribulation, we are not quitting. We are not going to fail what you have left us here to do. I think we can gain a lot from that. Because tonight I realize God's given us so much to do. By the way, it's nothing too taxing. It's nothing too difficult. It's nothing that we cannot accomplish. But we cannot accomplish it in our own power and in our own ability. But we can accomplish it in the power of God and in God's ability. How's it going to happen? Through supplication, through prayer, through trusting God, through calling on God. You know that thing that God's given you to do? By the way, when He gives us something to do, He wants us to do our best at it. Amen. Our best. And they were saying, we have been told not to preach or teach in the name of Jesus. We've been told this. Lord, we realize that this is something that you knew was going to happen. As a matter of fact, this is something your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. And Lord, we realize that you've left us here. They're doing what you knew they were going to do. So Lord, help us to do what we know you want us to do. And help us to do it with boldness. Help us to not back down. Help us to speak thy word with all boldness. Bless thy servants. And I want you to see finally. We've seen the separation. We've seen the supplication. I want you to see the shaking. It's what happens. This is what happens when you start believing God. The Bible says in verse 31, and when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Tonight I'm convinced God's ready to shake up some things. But it's going to depend upon us. What are you praying for? What is our life of prayer? When we think about supplication, what are we doing? Really, what do we do? What do we do with our prayer life? Do we pray and then get up sometimes and say, well, I wonder if God really will do that? I'm telling you, I don't think that's true prayer. Prayer is asking and receiving. Prayer is believing God. And by the way, when you're living in the will of God, you will pray in the will of God. So we won't pray foolish prayers. You know? We won't pray things that God's not wanting us to pray about. Honestly, if you think about this, most of our prayer lives, we're not praying in the will of God. We're just praying in our own will, in our own selfish desires. Let's just face the facts. You know, it's what we want. But I believe true prayer is wanting what God wants for our lives. That's it. When we're asking, we're really asking God to give us what He wants to give us, what He wants us to have all along. That's true prayer. And so when we think about this tonight, when we think about what happens when we pray, the Bible says when they pray, look, let me ask you something. Was it God's will for them to continue preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus? There's no doubt about it. The world said you can't. Right? You know what they said? Quit. Can't do it anymore. And they said, you know, you're going to have to judge. But they said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. But then they threatened them again. They sent them away. They went and they told their church, this is what they've said to us. And so they began to pray. And they began to pray in the will of God because they said, Lord, we realize it, that you allow these things to happen to us. Has there ever been anything happened to you that God didn't allow to happen? Do we believe that God is God, that He's an all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God? We believe that, don't we? You know, for some reason God let me get this. I don't know why, but He let me get this. Where He knew I was going to do this, and He knew it was going to be at this time. I've said all week, I'd rather have this next week than this week. You know, we're going to be hosting Brother Paulie. He's going to be staying in our home. And you know how hard it is to sit and talk. You know how hard it is to listen to me like this. Don't it just aggravate you, really? It's just like you're thinking, boy, I wish he could just speak up. Or it's hard to hear. When I hear somebody that's just real hoarse, it's hard for me to listen to because you struggle for them. And I hope you're struggling for me tonight. Because I'm struggling for you. But you think about it. Some reason the Lord allowed this to happen. And so instead of griping and complaining about, you know what I need to do, I just need to accept and say, Lord, help me to do the best I can. And that's what I asked today. Tonight I said, Lord, help me to do the best I can. It may not be very good, but it's my best. And Lord, I want you to anoint it. I want you to get something. And I hope that you've gotten something out of this. So we start praying in the will of God. We know it was God's will for them to continue to preach and teach in the name of Jesus because that's what He left them here to do. And so they said, Lord, we're going to ask you to help us. Give us the boldness we need. And that's what their prayer was. There was really no question that they were going to continue to preach and teach in the name of Jesus. But the question was, will we have the boldness? Because it's a whole lot easier to say, I'll never quit preaching, but you never know what you might do when the world is throwing stones at you. Amen. And they knew the persecution was coming. And by the way, that first persecution they faced was nothing compared to what they were getting ready to face. There's going to be a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus that's going to come on the scene, and he's going to wreak havoc in the church. It's on the way. See what they're saying? Help us to preach and teach in the name of Jesus with boldness. And when they got done with their prayer, God shook the place. God said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. They were shaken. The place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Isn't that wonderful? They got their hearts. You can go on and read and see what happened. I mean, they made sure everything was taken care of and that the church continued on. There was a mighty movement that took place out of this prayer meeting. Tonight, this is our challenge. Let's pray. Let's believe God. What are you praying for? We're going to gather around the altar. You can make your pew an altar here in just a moment. We'll close out in a word of prayer. What are you praying for? There's some things I think we need to pray for. We need to be praying for God to do something in our hearts and our lives in this meeting. We need to be praying for God to do something mighty in our midst. We need to be praying for our city, our community, this very place where we're located. Praying for our church. And sometimes we get selfish and pray for certain things, but praying in the will of God is just saying, Lord, we want what you want. We desire what your desire is for us. I think it'll change our prayer lives when we start thinking like that. It's not about what I want. It's about what the Lord wants. We start praying in his will. He can shake some things up. He can shake this place. And we can see the power of God in a way that we've never seen it before. We can see people saved. We can see revival come. We can see hearts stirred to serve him. We can see all these things. But it all has to be through the power of God. And we need to seek him tonight. Father, we thank you for the time you've given to us. I pray now thy will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Your prayer list tonight.